Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of encouragement, enlightenment, and empowerment. So we do thank God for all of our listeners on today. Our topic on today is it in the favor in finding a wife? Now, I know some of you are saying, okay, this topic is not for me. So just in case, this is a topic that works for the men as well as the sisters who are listening, but it also works for anybody who is standing in faith and believing God, standing in faith and believing God for his promises, standing in faith and believing God for whatever he told you, whatever he showed you. I don't care how long ago it was. I don't care how crazy, how strange it seems. I don't care how impossible it seems to you and in your mind, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but this show is for you as well. So don't get discouraged by the topic. Just hang in there with me for just a little while and you'll definitely see, okay, this is the reason that I was listening to this show on today. So be encouraged, my brothers and sisters. Again, I thank God for you being here. I especially thank my faithful listeners for being on. I know that some of you listen on a regular basis and you may not call in, but you know, you do give me the feedback after. So I appreciate you guys too. I appreciate you guys who just hang in there and pray with me. Those who are praying with my father, he is still in about the same category according to what the doctors say. But just to give you a praise report, the doctors told us on last week that they didn't think he would make it through this week. I just want to say, but God is in control. God is the healer. God is the deliverer. So I will tell any of you, it doesn't matter what man says concerning any situation in your life. God is the Father. God has the power. God is the healer. God will move on your behalf if you just stand in faith and believe whatever it is that God says. So again, our show today is the favor in finding a wife. That's coming from Proverbs 18 and 22. For those of you who have your Bibles, go ahead and grab your Bible. And just before we begin to read, just to give you some time to find the scripture, we're going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and we glorify you. We magnify you right now, God, for just being God all by yourself. God, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you in advance, God, for healing. And we thank you in advance, God, for deliverance. We thank you in advance, God, for just encouraging our hearts on today, God. I know, God, that some of our listeners may be down in the dumps today for whatever reason, God, but I pray now that you lift up their heads on today, God. I speak the word of God into your life and I say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up. In the name of Jesus, we just glorify you and magnify you now, God. We pray that you bless every listener, God. Bless everyone that is connected to this ministry, God. Bless every person that has sown a seed, whether it's financial, God, or a seed of love. In the name of Jesus, I pray now, God, that you not only speak to me, but speak through me. And God, I pray that you bless our special guests on today, oh God. You move by your spirit. Have your way, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you and we magnify you now. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I am encouraged on today, listeners. I know that it's Mother's Day weekend, and I know some of us have some things to do. A lot of you may be out and about going to get hair done and nails done so you can be extra beautiful on tomorrow. But again, I do appreciate you hanging in there with me on today and just taking out an hour of your day. We do have a special guest on today. And this is a special guest that I have gotten to know just over these last few months. He is definitely a man of God, but he is a man, he and his wife, who just love God's people. They are faithful people. And he and his wife work very closely with the children at our church. I just thank God for them because I see them being about the business of God's people. It's not just talk. They put their money and their time where their mouth is. So I just appreciate them. Our special guest on today is none other than Elder Fred Stewart. He serves as the assistant pastor at the Word Full Gospel Baptist Church. He started his first company, Divine Music Productions, in 2010. 6 and currently owns a marketing consulting firm called Stewart Communications. He also owns a nonprofit organization called We Play that provides quality physical education and mentorship programs to schools within the Jackson, Mississippi metro area. Again, I thank God for this man of God because he is someone who is not just full of the word, he's encouraged in the word. And yes, he is a preacher. For some of you who may like hoopers, he can hoop and he can teach. So I just thank God for our special guest on today. Elder Fred, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for joining us. Amen. Amen. I just thank God for you. I was just bragging on you, talking about how you and your wife are just such special people and how, you know, even with you all working with the children, that takes a special gift, Elder Fred. Now, you know, everybody can't work with the kids. So I appreciate you all. When I watch you all interacting with the children and doing so many things for the children, you know, in our church, but just also in our community. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. All right, listeners. So the scripture that you all were turning to was Proverbs 18 and 22. And I am going to read it. You know, I like to keep things simple so that everybody can understand because we have a wide range of ages and backgrounds with our listening audience. So going to Proverbs 18 and 20. So I'm going to be reading from the easy to read version. Now, you all can read from whichever version that you have, and that's fine. We just want to make sure that in all our getting, we get an understanding. So the Bible reads in the 22nd verse, "If you find a wife, you have found something good. She shows that the Lord is happy with you." Amen. Now, I know, like I said, that some of our listeners are people who are not married, are single. Some may be divorced. And some of you may not be thinking about marriage. You know, some of you may be saying, like, you know, right now, you know, God has got me doing some other things. I'm busy with the church, working in different areas and different categories. But we want to bring on Elder Fred Stewart to just kind of expound on that scripture and just kind of tell us in his own words what this scripture means. Fred.
Amen. Amen. I like that version that you read. What was that? What was that from? Which
version? This is the easy to read version. I found it on the internet. You know, we have several different Bibles, okay. But this is my first time doing the easy to read, but it makes it real simple.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. But this scripture is a very, I say it's quoted a lot amongst married couples. And anytime you hear about marriage, this scripture is always present. Always present. It's whosoever. I got it. Whoso findeth a wife. That's what it was. Mine says, and I wanted to stop right there. Mm-hmm. And he that finds a wife.
Yes. Let's talk about that find.
When we really look at that scripture, we kind of blaze by that, mm-hmm. or we just put it on the man and say, okay, yeah, you got to go out there and find a wife. There you go. Mm-hmm. Boom. So drop you out in the middle of nowhere and there's a bunch of wives, so go ahead and get one. And at to a degree, that may be true, but I want to point to one thing. Mm-hmm. I would like to point to the fact that ladies should be able to be accessible. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean be able to be found. You know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have a problem with it, and I don't know why, but there's kind of a backlash against that when you tell women need to do something. Because I know a lot of ladies are doing their thing. They're in mm-hmm. church, they have their careers going, some of them at school while they're doing their careers. Mm-hmm. But if you are at all those places, at all those times, sometimes it may be difficult for some guys to find you, mm-hmm. because they're not always at those places at those times. So my thing is be available mm-hmm. when it comes. Be not just available in your status, but be spiritually and emotionally available too.
Ooh, Lord, yes.
That doesn't mean that you actually, you know, that doesn't mean that you actually want a husband, you mm-hmm. know. That doesn't mean that you appear to want a husband. So
that's right.
So be spiritually and emotionally available. So I just wanted to stop right there on that, mm-hmm. you know, find a wife. And then I wanted to go to, he signed a good thing. Mm-hmm. Now, amongst men, you know, we talk amongst brothers, you know. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, the women this and the women that, in my single days, of course.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes.
A whole bunch of women around, and you're like, okay, it's a lot of women. You know, they look good. She look good. Right? Well, you know, I got a relationship with her, you know. So what happens next? Mm-hmm. So you have guys that are, they stop right there at that relationship point. Mm-hmm. And they say, okay, well, you know, I like her a lot. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not ready to marry her because of all the bad things I've heard about marriage. And I want to make sure that people understand that when you do find a wife, when you do find that person that God is clearly pointing to, mm-hmm. saying, this is, mm-hmm. this is who you have, right? This is who I want for you. This is mm-hmm. who I want you to be with. That you understand that it is a good thing.
Yes.
It's not the old ball and chain. You know,
yes, absolutely.
I remember when I first got married, I wanted to get married, but I had a few friends that were like, you know, man, you should be tied down. This is what you're going to have to look at for the rest of your life. You know, they say all these bad things, you know, about,
that's right.
about
that's
marriage. True. You ain't going to be able to go anywhere, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, I want men, especially if there's any men on this line today, mm-hmm. I want them to understand that it is a good thing to be married. It is a good thing to be married. Mm-hmm. Can I say that again? It is a
yes.
good thing to be married. It's not the old ball and chain. And we've been hearing about that for the longest. You know? Mm-hmm. Even when I was a kid, you know, the old ball and chain, you know, on mm-hmm. cartoons and everything. You never hear about, okay, it was I found a wife and it was great. No, you always hear about what she won't allow you to do.
That's
you know,
right.
things that you won't be able to do when you do find that good thing. But mm-hmm. it does say something that I really, really like mm-hmm. at the end. It says you will receive favor from the
yes.
Lord. Now, favor is, I would say that it's two parts to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's more. There's a lot of favor that you can receive. There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I can go in my marriage. Right? There's a lot of things that the Lord has allowed me to have.
Yeah.
And allow me to experience because mm-hmm. I was married. And I'm going to say something. Mm-hmm. You will receive favor in the form of finance.
That's right.
And there's a direct quotient to this. And so you say, how can I get more money if I'm spending it with another person and I got all this stuff? Well, most of the time in a modern day marriage, you're bringing two incomes together.
That's right.
And whether you know it or not, you're increasing by default. I know you're looking for something deep and spiritual right there, but that's just not on the
that's
truth.
True.
There are two incomes coming together to make one.
Uh-huh.
And it is a lot that you can do because of that. You wanted a car, but you couldn't afford one because you had to pay rent. Well, mm-hmm. now both of you all are bringing
right.
money to the table. You know, most cases now.
Uh-huh.
Now,
that's
some
right.
cases are, you know, you have the housewife,
mm-hmm.
and I don't kick against that at all. If that mm-hmm. if that's what worked in your relationship,
right?
Have at it. I don't kick against that at all.
Right.
But I know for a fact that when you have two incomes, your standard of living goes up dramatically.
That's right.
Yeah, it does. And not only that, when you're married, I want men to understand this. I want men to really, really hear me when I say this. When you're married,
mm-hmm.
people will take you more seriously.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't think this when I was single. You know, I was like, well, you know, I've seen plenty
of
people that are single do this, that, other. But there are some doors that open
yeah.
when you're married. People
yeah.
seem to trust you more with certain things. When
mm-hmm.
you're married. Because when you're married, it conveys to them. Now, it might not be true in everybody that's married now, like I said, but when you're married, it conveys to other people that you are responsible for something. And you can be responsible. That's why a lot mm-hmm. of churches, and I don't do this. But a lot of churches, they want their pastors to be men. And, you know, I'm not saying that he has to be. He has to be married. But at the same time, I know where the logic comes from when you're talking about this.
That's
because
right.
they assume that, you know, you are able to control something in your household.
That's right.
And they like that. You know, they want they want to feel like that you're able to do these things. So you'll get taken more serious, more seriously. Also, I remember, and I tell this story all the time, when I first started my business, I was single and I was young. And when I would talk to other people, you know, the clients, potential clients, you know, I would tell them all these great things and whatnot, and you know, they were like, "Yeah, this is a great idea. I should try this for my business." And I'm like, "Okay." Then they asked me the question, like, "Are you married?" And I said, "No, I'm not married." And they said, "How old are you?" And I, at the time, I remember one particular, I said I was 23 years old. Said, "Oh, no, you're a baby." Now, all of that. Now, I could have came back and go like, "How old are you, 47?
Right.
Oh, you're old." But I didn't do that. You know, I didn't do it. And I don't want nobody out here to think that I'm calling them older than 47.
That's the disclaimer.
Yes. But think, you know, when I was young and I wasn't married, they didn't take me as serious as they did when I
did.
And I will tell you, doors started to open. And early, I was doing things the right way.
I was doing
things the way that God wanted me to do.
That's right.
And I want to understand that when you're obedient to the Lord, you will gain favor from it. You will gain
things.
So you're open to the Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
It is. So if he's, I'm going to tell these men, if he's shown you that woman, you need to act on it. And I'm going to say that delayed obedience is disobedience.
It's disobedience. That's right.
So I want men to understand that if you do find a wife, either side of the wife, you found something good.
Yes.
And you will get some stuff from the Lord.
Yes.
You'll have favor from the Lord. He'll open some doors. He'll open some windows. He'll give you more money that you need, more things. You want a motorcycle, you can get it. You got two incomes.
That's right.
And I don't want to just push it on
the reality.
Part of it, but that is the reality of it. You will have more things. There are some people right now, they're shacking up with boyfriends. And the reason why they're shacking up is because of that. Their other half is probably kicking in something.
There are
some people taking money from some men or women that they really don't even like.
You
know, they entertain the thought process of it. And we're going to get into a whole other story.
It is.
And I want people to understand that you don't have to take this money from anybody. First of all, my God said he will supply all of your needs.
All your needs. According to his story.
So I want you to believe God for your rent instead of believing Jody or believing Mary for the rent money. And there's a lot, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that are hung up, caught up, because they are very, very used to the money, the finances or anything else, even the attention that someone else brings. And they're not married to them, but they allow things to happen in their life. You know, they allow those people to walk over them. But when you get you a good husband, when you get you a good wife, and you're going to understand that person's intention is not to hurt you. They're not out to get what you got.
Whether
it's money, whether it's sex, or whether it's anything else. They're not out to get you.
Mm-hmm.
They're for you. And it's so awesome to have a wife that just to know that she's for me. She's not out trying to get my money because, you know, it is what it is. You know, she cares for once, but, you know, I understand that we're working to build something here. And when you're married versus when you're unmarried, you have a clear-cut path. And
you
know where you're going to be. You know what God wants of you. And you might not know every detail of where he wants to take you, but you know that he wants the best for you.
That's right.
When you're in a situation where you're not there and kind of checking up and doing whatever, there's this uncertainty that you have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's going to happen. Y'all don't know if y'all should be married. You know, most of the time, it's the dude, he just exploring a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just going here and going there and going, you know, and the lady mm-hmm. just waiting and waiting.
Like,
one day he's going to pop the question. It's been mm-hmm. 17 years. He still ain't popped it. You know, you're going along. You're just going along
That's
to
right.
get along, and you find yourself 17 years down the line. You know, I know some people say, I'm not going to do it that long, but there are people that are 17, 20 years down the line still mm-hmm. in limbo. And I just want you to understand that. When you find a wife, guys, you found a good thing, and you will receive that favor from the Lord. I hope I didn't talk too long for you.
Oh, no, you could have kept going.
Oh. Okay.
Hey, man, I'm getting responses from some of the listeners already. So, no, you definitely could have kept going. I think they definitely enjoyed the piece where you started talking about some of the benefits of having a wife. But I also want to expound and go back to where you talked about women needing to be available. Because
All right.
one thing is for sure, you know, I am divorced myself, and I can say that probably in those first few years, I was not emotionally available. I thought that I was physically available because, like you said, you know, you're at church, you're at work, you know, you're in and out of the grocery store, you're going different places. But I personally, and I know that there are some other women who can attest to what I'm saying, I was not emotionally available because I was still hurt. I was angry about some things. And, you know, God's intention, you know, when we go through is for us to get better, not be bitter. You know, I won't necessarily say I was bitter, but there were just some things that I couldn't understand. You know, so one of the things, ladies, that Elder Fred has expounded on today is being emotionally available. You know, being spiritually available means, you know, you're doing the things that you're supposed to do. You're obeying God. You're busy working in the church, you know, whether or not you have a singles ministry or just involved with things, you know, at the church or in the community. There are several things that you can do. And Elder Fred, I don't know if you remember, we had a guest speaker that said, you know, some of you women need to get you some Maybelline and hit the scene. You know, you can't just sit in the house and expect a man or a husband, a man who is worthy of being your husband, to just come and knock on the door. You know, we have to be available in every way. So I really appreciate the fact that you mentioned that, because a lot of times we're not available to be found. You know, one minute we say we want a husband, the next minute we're like, girl, I don't feel like washing nobody else's laundry. You know, or we'll say, yeah, I want a husband. And the next minute you say, ain't nobody finna be telling me what to do. You know, we really have the wrong perspective. So I appreciate you mentioning that and talking about how some of the brothers' perspectives are, you know, with the whole ball and chain thing. I don't know where that came from, but you are absolutely right. Because I've heard it before. I've heard it before.
Well, I've heard it all my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they look at marriage as, oh, this is the end. But the truth is, like you said, this is absolutely the beginning. So, you know, callers, if you're listening, you want to comment, you want to call in on today to ask questions, that number is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. If you want to call in and ask Elder Fred Stewart or myself any questions. But women, remember, you know, and brothers, remember, this is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. And you know, I appreciate hearing that from a male perspective also, because you hear a lot of women who feel like they're gaining something when they get married. But a lot of times, you know, the brothers don't always feel like, you know, this is a gain. It's like, oh Lord, somebody finna have access to my bank account. You know, they totally miss all of the benefits that come along with it. And then, like, you know, Elder Fred said, you have those people sometimes that's just shacking up and you think you're getting some benefits. Well, you're really not. You know, you may be thinking that you're gaining something in the natural, but when you're not being obedient to God, you're harming yourself. You're putting yourself in danger. You know, one thing is for sure, when you know to do right and you're still doing something else, you know, woe be it unto you, you know, and that's not to speak a gloom and doom message. But, you know, the truth is that there are some benefits to obeying God. There are some benefits to doing what, you know, thus saith the Lord. So, again, listeners, you can call us at 888-627-6008. I also want to talk, Elder Fred, about the fact that women have to be found in general. What is the male perspective when a woman is out pursuing you and chasing you and calling you and knocking on your door? You know, we have some sisters who are so bold as to send flowers to your job. And she's like, oh, you know, come on over, I'm gonna cook dinner and we're gonna get married, and you've known her all of 2 weeks. You know, what is the male perspective then on those women who are out? She's doing the hunting. Does it not leave a man not knowing what to do? Because if you're doing my role, I'm confused. Let's talk about that perspective from the males, if the woman is the one doing all the pursuing.
Sure. The male, he's terrified. He's terrified. I had a situation happened to me a long time ago, mm-hmm. where I was playing for a church. The young lady said that the Lord told her that I was her husband. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been hearing about, you know, people saying that, but when you actually hear it for yourself, it is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, okay, he didn't tell me, you know, that's the first
right.
thing you're thinking, he didn't tell me. And then the second thought is like, did he tell me? And you're like, oh,
maybe.
And then, yeah, look, you know, people always, you know, cut that off, like, yeah, he didn't tell me, bye, dude, you know, no. If there's a unit, she didn't tell me. And then you're like, wait a minute, did he tell me? He didn't tell me. I don't think, maybe she heard it first, and I was supposed to hear it second. And, you know, just things like that. But it's very terrifying mm-hmm. when you are pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you naturally, I don't care what religions you are,
you naturally know
that is not right.
No.
You just know it. You
That's
feel
right.
it. You're like, okay, this, uh-huh. what are we going to do? That was a song, I think it was Aretha Franklin. One of the scariest songs, and I brought it to my Facebook friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, I'm going to rap on your door, tap on your window pane. Till you come back to me, that's what I'm going to do. It sounds like something out of a movie. Are you kidding me? Until I come back. Whoa, wait a minute. You're going to rap on. And then she said something about, I'm going to tap by your steps. I'm like, I'm gonna call the police. I'm gonna call the police. And everybody's jamming to this song, you know. And I'm jamming to you, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I like Motown, not, you know, 1970s. I like that, sounds good. And then you listen to the words, you're like, wait a minute. She's talking about stalking me. So, you know, it is a terrifying feeling when mm-hmm. you are pursued. Mm-hmm. When the hunter is hunting.
Because it kind of leaves a brother not knowing what to do. Because if she's going to do your role, so now what you supposed to do? You supposed to sit back and wait on some flowers? Or, you know, is she going to come and propose to you? Or, you know, I can imagine from the male perspective that it's scary. But not only that, the younger men will call her thirsty. Like, what's wrong with her? Like, she's desperate. Like, what is wrong with you? So women, you know, I know that this whole new age thing that we're into, you know, we talk about being these new age women and all of this. I will tell you, to this day, I am still old school. You know, I still like flowers. You know, I am not fixing to sponsor any man anywhere, anytime. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to be your sponsor, and I'm not going to chase you, because that's not what thus saith the Lord. And a lot of times, you know, people take that to mean that you're arrogant or she doesn't want this and she don't want that. No, that's not it. I do want a husband. But what I'm not fixing to do is chase somebody, because you have to be the one that God sent. One thing for sure with marriage, and I know, Elder Fred, you'll agree, that once you get married, you become destiny partners. You are not just in a spiritual covenant, but you are destiny partners. So if this man has a vision of working with kids and you personally don't like kids, you may not be the one. If this man has a vision, you know, and the Lord has told him that he's going to be in ministry, and you don't like people and you don't want nobody standing up talking to your man, you may not be the one. And the same thing with the sisters. You know, there are a lot of women who are in ministry or have goals and vision and dreams, you know, of you working side by side, and God has shown you yourself working side by side with your spouse for some things in the future. He's giving you a vision of some things that you're supposed to be doing, and he's shown you that you're supposed to be doing these things with your spouse, and here comes Slick Willie, you know, who doesn't know how to act, and he's not saved, but he's, you know, the only thing on two legs that told you he loved you in the last 3 months. So you just figure, oh well, he the one, you know. No, that's not what God is saying. Your spouse is your destiny partner. You agree, Elder Fred?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
You hit it. You hit it. You hit it. I think people need to understand something about the whole, you know, being yoked together.
Yeah.
Is that you are together. You know,
that's
it,
right.
I'm just going to put it, it's not that deep. You are together. When you're yoked together, you are together. My wife did not choose to be a minister's wife. She didn't choose it. The life chose her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this life, I mean, and she responded well, I believe. But,
she
you know, has. I went to her about it. When I went to her about it, she was like, okay. You know, mm-hmm. it was a feeling like, you know, well, I don't really know what this is. But mm-hmm. since I'm committed mm-hmm. to the relationship, to the marriage, mm-hmm. to the covenant, I said in my vows, till mm-hmm. death do us part. That means I'm in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm together. We're together. We're yoked together. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to submit to what God is doing.
That's right.
And I'm going to submit to what God is doing. And mm-hmm. I want people to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not submitting to the person.
That's right.
And I know we're getting into another topic of submission. But I want to make sure that people know you're not submitting to the person. My wife is not submitting to Fred Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Stewart. What she's submitting to is to God inside of her.
That's right.
That's what she's committing to. And so when you get into the talk of submission, everybody's head goes down, you know, because nobody wants to talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
That's the topic. But yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure people understand, you know, is that when you're in this thing together, you are in this thing together.
That's right. And the submission thing, since you mentioned it, you know, one of the things that women have to understand in general, you know, Bible says submitting yourselves one to another. You don't have a problem submitting or even being under leadership on your job or leadership at your church. You don't have a problem having authority because you are supposed to, as a Christian, already know how to submit to God. So it's not a big deal if you're submitting to the God in your husband. You know, it's not a big deal if you're submitting to the God in your pastor. You know, we get into it, we're not worshiping people. You know, that is not the point. No, we're not worshiping people. We're submitting to the order because God is all about order. He's all about order. He's a God of order. So, you know, whatever that headship is, if you have some confidence in this man that you say God put you with, why can't you be more submissive if he says to you, hey, listen, you know, we're working on this budget. You know, let's not go shopping this month. You know, we need to save because, you know, very soon we're about to need a new hot water heater. You know, how hard is that to say, oh, okay, because like you said, we're in this thing together. And together means to death do us part. So whatever the need is for the household, if this brother comes to you, sisters, and you are submitted to God, you don't have any problem submitting to his request of saying, okay, look, let's just, you know, hold up on the spending, you know, let's make sure that we're doing this. Or, hey, this or that's coming up. Let's save for this trip. You know, you want the man to show up with some money out the air, you know, but you want to go on all these vacations this summer. Then, you know, one thing is for sure, you know, somebody's got to have some sense. So, again, if you say, you know, God sent him and God sent her to be your wife, you know, then you all will work together toward that common goal. You know, so that's one thing's for sure. You know, remember that you're not just getting somebody for right now. This is to death do us part. And you are my destiny partner. You know, if I marry you and you are the person that God has called me to be with. Now, listeners, we haven't heard from you all. We're getting some comments otherwise, but you guys haven't called in just yet. So some of you married folks, you know, definitely feel free to call in and tell us about your experience. You know, tell us how God has not only blessed you in this area, but some of you may be calling to tell us how God has had to help you to grow in this area, especially as it pertains to some of the benefits of being married, or especially as it pertains to, you know, the submission piece, you know, especially as it pertains to some of you men, you know, who know that, hey, you know, the other brothers were telling me, you know, oh yeah, man, this is the end, but now I know. So give us a call, 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, I want to talk to the sisters for just a minute. And Elder Fred, you can help to expound on this as well. What are the things that a woman should be doing while you're believing God for your destiny partner? You know, and one of the things that we have coming up very soon, you know, you guys just, you know, just stay tuned. At the Word Full Gospel, our singles ministry is getting ready to kick off here in the next month or so. So that's one of the things that we have to focus on as well. It's like, okay, I'm single, but what am I supposed to be doing while I'm waiting on this spouse? Well, it's definitely not sitting home twiddling your thumbs. You know, because you are single, you have time available to do the things of God. You have the time available to do outreach ministry for your church. You have the time available to work with some of the kids, you know, at the church or whatever is going on. You have the time available to be out ministering to people or checking on the sick and shut in or going by the hospital instead of wearing out your pastor and pastor's wife, you know, with them always having to go over all the time. You know, you have the availability to be able to do several things. So while you are waiting, you know, you're not just going to wait patiently and sit home and do nothing, but you are focused on the things of God. And that's for men and for women. You know, as Elder Fred said, you have to make yourself available, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. But, you know, while you are working in the ministry, you know, like Ruth, when Boaz found her, and sisters, you know, we always like to talk about Boaz. When Boaz found her, she was working. She was doing something. She wasn't just standing by talking about her situation or talking about what had happened to her or talking about this is how I ended up here or I never would have been here if, you know, she wasn't sitting around being bitter. That sister was working, you know. So for some of you sisters who are in the waiting process, waiting to be found, you know, waiting for your Boaz to come around, as we like to talk about all the time, you know, you got to do some work. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So you're waiting on God to just send you a man and he just magically appears at your door with flowers on a white horse. That's not going to happen, sisters. What we have to realize is that there is some work for us to be doing as we are waiting on God and for that manifestation of what God has promised us. Elder Fred, you agree?
Yes, I do. I do. And I'm glad you brought up Ruth. She was gleaning in the field.
Yeah.
And where it comes out is in the field.
Yes.
She was out there in the field doing something. So if you're busy doing something, that's part of the attraction for a male, to be honest with you, especially a male that's in business. I could definitely try to talk about being in a business. Mm-hmm. You don't just want somebody to just sit there doing anything.
That's right.
You need someone to add to what you're doing.
That's
so
right.
So they're out there. You're out there working. And I'm not saying working like a job. It doesn't necessarily have to be a job. Mm-hmm. It has to be something that you're busy with that's actually productive.
Yeah.
You know, in church. There's a lot of stuff going on in church that you can do.
Yes.
You know, at different, I mean, if you're in ministry, people, they see you. You know, some people, I know a lot of people that have found their wife in the church.
That's right.
In the ministry. Like, well, we both started, you know, working on this project together and kept talking and next thing you know, we're married.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely.
Clean in the field. Get out there and pick up some paper. Pick up some hammer.
Something.
Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. I'm glad to do that you mentioned. We always talk about Boaz. We preach about Boaz all the time. But when I do lessons on Boaz, I do focus on the fact that Ruth was in the field.
That's right.
And she was in the field doing her thing, doing
That's
what
right.
she's supposed to.
That's right.
And he looked across and he was like, man, she's fine.
Yeah, he looking across saying, who is that? You know, but she was busy doing something, not sitting at home on the couch, you know, eating bonbons or whatever, you know, or not coming to church just to be a pew warmer. You know, God says this ministry is for all of us. We should all be, you know, going out to tell people about the gospel of Jesus, you know, so you don't have time to sit around and be a pew warmer. You're waiting on God to do something for you. You're waiting on God to move on your behalf. You have to apply some action. Faith is an action word. So for some of you sisters who may have become frustrated, or for anybody who's waiting on God to do something, you know, you may have become frustrated. You know, you thought like, okay, by now this thing should have happened for me, because you have your own timetable in mind. And for some of us, you know, you don't necessarily even see your value. You don't necessarily see how valuable you are to the kingdom of God and all the great things, you know, that you could be doing, you know. But if your time has not come yet, you know, I can say with a surety, especially as it relates to relationships, you know, be glad that some of those jokers that acted up were not the right one, because you'd rather know now than find out later that he really was Slick Willie, you know, or he really was, you know, Cheating Charlie, or whoever. You know, it's best that you found out sooner than later. But that's why, you know, we also have to know, again, our self-worth. And that's why it's called self-worth, because if other people do not seem to be valuing you right now, other people may not seem to be noticing you right now. You know, some of you sisters are like, okay, I've heard you. I've done everything you said. I keep myself up. I work out. I go to work. You know, I'm in the choir. I'm doing this and that at the church. I've done all those things. You know, there are some other things then to stop and ask yourself, you know, as Fred stated, you know, what type of where are you spiritually and emotionally? Are you looking like you want to be in a relationship, or are you walking around now with a chip on your shoulder because you don't have a man? You know, are you walking around now saying, well, I did all that and you're not telling me anything? You know, a lot of times we have to remember that as it pertains to the things of God and blessings being manifested in our life, whether it's a husband, a wife, or financial blessings, whatever it is, sometimes we have to go ahead and act like we already got it, you know? So for some of you sisters, you should be already dressing like a wife. You brothers, you should be already dressing like, you know, you have a family, not walking around with your pants pulled down like a little boy, you know, or like a prisoner. You should be already, sisters, knowing how to cook, or practicing making a meal, or practicing taking care of your household. You should already be practicing talking a certain way and not being rude or embarrassing. Because the one thing you don't want is to get with a man and you don't know how to talk to him. You know, he asks you, well, good morning. How you doing? You know, there are certain things that you should already be doing and you should be acting like. So, you know, for some of you who are already married and you're like, okay, well, I'm not looking for a spouse right now. Then for those of you who are waiting on a financial blessing, go ahead and sow seeds like you already got that financial blessing. For those of you who are believing God for a car, keep the hoopty that you have clean. Keep it washed. Keep it taken care of. Keep your oil changes done. You know, there are some things that you do to show, okay, Lord, you can trust me with this. I'm ready. You want God to bless you with more money, but are you tithing on the amount that you already have? See, that's the way faith works. Again, there is some work to be done. There is some action to be applied. The Bible talks in Hebrews 11 chapter, you know, about how things may look impossible for man, you know, but for God, you know, all things are possible. So it speaks specifically, you know, about how God blessed Abraham and Sarah. And the funny thing is that, you know, when God told them what he was going to do, well, you know, we know the story. A lot of us know that they tried to fix it on their own. That's not what God wants for us. He don't want you to just go out and grab anybody or do anything because you're waiting on God's promises to be manifested. The other thing is Sarah laughed. She didn't even believe it herself. And for some of us, that's what we do. Is that not right, Elder Fred? Some of us be like, yeah, right. God ain't gonna bless me like that shoe. God ain't gonna make me no millionaire. Or God ain't gonna, you know, give me that kind of car. You know, we don't even believe God. And he's showing us and he's told us, you know, but they were old before the manifestation actually came. But saints, is it not correct, Fred? We have to remain faithful and act like we already got it. We got to praise him on the promise. We got to be active and activate our faith just on the things that God has shown us. Instead of just sitting back negative, we need to look like and act like where we say we're going in God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I wanted to expound. I know we're going to get down to the last of the last, but except it's very important that you need to act like that you've already got it.
Mm-hmm.
Act like you're already in this situation. Mm-hmm. And I talked to a few brothers that, mm-hmm. you know, they're getting ready to get married, and they asked me for tips. And mm-hmm. I gave them just a few tips. And can I share that with you all for
absolutely.
For oh, but there's just a few tips that they asked, you know, about, you know, how can, you know, how y'all have a good marriage and everything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote down a good bit of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said, the first one, when I told them, establish your own private home.
Mm-hmm.
Establish your own private home. Look at Genesis 2 and 24. It says, mm-hmm. therefore, shall a man leave his father and his mother,
yes.
and shall cleave unto his wife,
mm-hmm.
and they shall be one flesh. There's mm-hmm. a lot of situations where people have allowed other people to infiltrate
yes.
their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a statement, whatever goes on in this house stays in this house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in Vegas, whatever goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. You know, they have that. But God is telling you, whatever happens at your house, you need to keep it at your house. Your mother and your father, they can give you sound advice for certain things. But you need to make sure that your home is private.
That's right.
Leave your mother, leave your father, and cleave unto your wife, cleave unto your husband. Secondly, I told them to continue courtship. Don't just, you know, when you get married, you know, that's it. We just at the house, watch TV. No, me and my wife, we do stuff. You know, we
that's
do
right.
things.
You know,
right. Oh, you know, I'm a heavier guy, but I sit in a go-kart. You know, I wanted to do something else. You know, we just do random things, just, you know, whether it's bowling or anything, you know. First Peter 4:8, I get a scripture says, above all, unfailing your love for one another.
Yes.
Since love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
Continue to do things. Joe, bring those flowers, you know, candy. Mm-hmm. Be spontaneous every now and then. It doesn't have to be, you know, you at the house all the time.
Right.
Thirdly, I told them to remember that God joined them together.
That's right.
Because it's easy to get off track when you just be like, well, you know, we're just together. We can. It's easy to leave that way when you're thinking, you know, we're just together. You know, it's my boyfriend, you know, that's it. We just got papers. No, no, no. It says that you've been joined together by God. And Matthew 19:5-6 verse says, for what therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Put asunder.
No man, right. No man is including yourself.
That's right.
So remember that God has joined you together. Also, guard your thoughts. Don't let your senses trap you. And a lot of men, I want to say a lot of men here, allow the devil to attack their mind. And he'll, you know, with Facebook and all this different thing. Oh, man, I got to get off Facebook. You know, he'll scroll and he'll be like, wait, oh, gosh, no, can't do this. You know, I can't see that, you know. And you got to get off. You got to guard every thought. You got to guard your mind all the time. Proverbs 23:7 says, for if he thinketh in his heart, so is he.
So is he. That's right.
When you start thinking that stuff, you're going to start acting out on some of those things. You're going to start acting out. Okay. Off number 5, I told them, never retire at night with angry with each other.
That's right.
Don't go to being angry.
That's
right. Don't go to being angry. Ephesians 4:26, let not the sun go down upon your wrath.
That's right.
Confess. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Y'all need to talk this stuff out. Don't go to bed mad at each other. Also told them to pray together. The cliche is right. A family that prays together stays together.
That's right.
You all have to be in prayer to each other. You have to be in prayer for each other.
That's
to
right.
God. And see, when you're making that communication, both y'all making that communication to God, you're actually acknowledging that there's a higher being other than yourself. And it's harder to get self-indulged when you're praying. The Jackson Southern mayor said it's hard to stumble when you're on your knees. So whenever you're in a situation, you know, y'all might not be, you know, acting right toward each other. You got to go in prayer. And once you get in prayer and you understand that your Father, he wants what's best for you, those things, those situations will work themselves out. Also told them to keep the family circle closed tight.
So you have
children. You have children. I'm the one that is that's working with children all over. I work with elementary students. My wife, she's a middle school teacher. And we see all the time where the children are kind of going astray. And the family, the mother and the father, they feel like they really can't do anything.
Yeah.
But it starts early.
That's
right. It starts
right.
early. You don't start, you know, beating them upside the head at 13. It starts early in the game. You might not have to beat them if you start early enough. You know, one, 2 years old, you're working with them. You're keeping them close. Keeping them close, not just close to you, but you're ultimately keeping them close to God.
That's right.
And the last one, I just want, there's a lot of them that I did. I just want to do just one more for time's sake.
Okay.
I told them this. I said, respect each other's personal rights and privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
definitely.
You know, respect, just if you keep that, if you trust each other, you really, truly trust each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've heard of situations where people are having to go through phones and stuff because inklings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go, I'm going to say, when you go through someone's phone and you don't find anything,
mm-hmm.
and they found out that you went through their phone,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have some problems.
That's right.
You're going to have some problems.
That's right.
The situation going to come up because now you're dealing with the fact that, hey, you don't trust them.
That's right.
You don't trust
them. And what were you looking for? That makes you think, well, what were you
doing? Oh, yeah. There's a whole bunch of questions that's going to open up. As soon as you do that, I just want people to understand that. I went through this phone. I got his password. That's good and everything, but you don't find it.
That's right.
What you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
They say if you look for it, you'll find it. But sometimes you don't find it because there's nothing going on. And when you do that, you know, you opened up something else, a porthole for him or her to say, okay, well, you don't trust me. So, what I need to do? What I need to do now? Like, you're gonna open up that door for them to go through your phone.
That's right.
And God forbid, you can have nobody to say, hey, what's
Lord
up?
Lord have mercy.
But yeah, that's all I want to know. Time is going. There's a lot of my total on the list. But those main 10 that I did, those will help sustain that marriage.
Mm-hmm. Those are very helpful. Sounds like a marriage conference underway, Elder Fred.
Oh, put it on me like that.
Amen. For some of our listeners today, you know, I know some of you may be somewhere caught between God's promise, you know, and actually receiving the blessing, or, you know, God's promises of what he's going to do if you're actually receiving the favor, or in the space where you receive the word, you understood the word clearly, but it just hasn't manifested yet. So one of the things, you know, that you all definitely need to remember is just continue to stand on the word that God gave you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like, but you remain faithful and don't give up. Don't lose heart. First of all, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. If God said it, know that he is truly going to do it. Don't be somewhere laughing like Sarah, because the blessing is still coming. And once you see the manifestation, we'll see who's laughing. You know, God is faithful to his word, and I appreciate him for that. Faith is not contingent upon what you can see. Faith is not contingent upon, you know, what it looks like or what it feels like at the time. But faith itself is your evidence of what you cannot see. The Bible says in Matthew 21 and 22 that when you ask, believe that you received when you pray. So that means that I'm going to act like it. I'm going to look like it. I'm going to behave like it. And for some of you waiting on a spouse, I'm going to dress like it. You know, I already got a job. I already have a place for you to live. You know, for some of you brothers who are believing for a wife. And don't think that it's a big deal just because you have not seen the manifestation yet. We all go through something. We're all in the process and in transition of waiting on something. Everybody doesn't just have, you know, a bag of blessings just dropped off at your door with everything that God ever showed you. It doesn't work like that. You know, we have to continue working out there in the field, you know, like Ruth, or working in ministry, or doing whatever it is that God has called us to do before we actually receive our blessings sometimes. So we have to know, you know, what it looks like and what we're supposed to be doing in the process. You just keep working. You keep going. You keep believing. You keep doing what you're supposed to do, because there is no situation that you're dealing with that's new. Nothing is new under the sun, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Just know that you're not alone. The Bible says that man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you need to make sure that you're constantly applying the word to your situation. Don't speak negatively. If you're believing God for a house, then every day you need to be saying, thank you, Lord, for my house. Not, well, I don't know. My credit ain't right. No, it's not about that. You are believing what God says, then that's what you speak. That's what you act like. You start preparing. You start looking at drapes. You start looking at, you know, what kind of carpet that you want to put in your house. Whatever it is that God told you, act like it. Say that. Don't speak negatively against the vision that God already gave you. You take God at his word. Go ahead and take that step of faith. You know, when Jesus came and the disciples were out on the boat, when Peter got ready to walk on water, he did fine until he looked down. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, as long as he kept his eyes on the word, he knew what the truth was, and it didn't matter. God said, come to him, and Peter began to walk on water. See, most of us know that story about him walking on water, but we have to realize what made him sink is when he took his eyes off Jesus. So while you're waiting on God and you're in this phase and in this transition, you keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the promises. Focus on what it is that God told you. Trust God. Don't go by anything that, you know, somebody else come along saying, man, that's not going to happen for you. A girl, you dreaming, that's not going to happen. You may not see the results right away. But if God said it, then that settles it. The old folks used to sing a song back in the day. If God says it, that settles it. Know, again, that faith without works is dead. So you can't just sit around. You can't just sit back saying, oh, well, it's going to happen. No, sit back and act like it. Sit back and do some of the things that you need to be doing. And I know that we're running out of time. Elder Fred, it has been a pleasure. We thank you so much for coming on to the show today. I know that there are several things that are going on at the Word Full Gospel for my listeners. Just check out my blog page, and I'll keep you guys updated as to what's going on. Elder Fred, how can the listeners get in touch with you?
Yes, it's on my Facebook page, actually.
Okay.
It's type in Fred Stewart. It should be facebook.com/Fred M. Stewart. And I do respond to inboxes, and I do respond to
Amen. Thank you so much for being with us again. For our listeners, you can also see or hear Elder Fred Stewart at the Word Full Gospel Church. We will be having services tomorrow, 10:45 a.m. morning worship service, 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive, Jackson, Mississippi. If you are interested in donating to Campbell Ministries Incorporated, you can do so by clicking on the donate button on the website, or you can also write at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi. The zip is 39236. Thank you so much for joining us. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you on this morning, and rightly so. Again, thank you, Elder Fred Stewart, for joining us. And for our listeners, God bless you is my prayer. Be blessed.